God, you are awesome, you're delightful, you are brilliant, you're totally awesome to us. We praise you for your goodness. We thank you because you do carry us. We thank you because you demonstrated your love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you because you knew us before the foundation of the earth, before we were formed in our respective mother's wombs. Lord, you knew us. You called us by name. You knew what would happen today. Lord, you knew our end from the beginning and vice versa. Lord, thank you for the grace that we have in Jesus. Thank you for the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we have. Thank you for the fellowship of one another. Thank you that in a dangerous world, you have given us your word. And Lord, we say we are greatly encouraged to know you. We are greatly encouraged to love you and to know that we are loved by you. So we praise you this afternoon. We pray, or this morning in America, Lord, we say that have your way in our midst and let your kingdom come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So he's glad. I'm really happy to talk to us. It's been a very long time, and I think everybody in America, in the Maryland Church, you are family. I was thinking of mentioning people by name, but I know that I won't finish. I'll just mention Brother Aloja, who I haven't seen for a long time. So it's nice to see you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
And I know everybody else. I won't start, because if I start, I will probably will just keep doing this. So I won't start. So, but I see the church in Maryland as our home church as well. And I'll just say something quickly, and I will start. Today in our church in England, we were told that we're going to start fasting from tomorrow. For 7 days. So I declared that there and then in the church this morning here, that, oh, I belong to the Nigerian church. So, and when the Nigerian church declares that there is fasting, I will tell them that I belong to the American church. So it's good to have three churches. Okay, can we just open to the book of Acts, chapter 1? And we're going to try and make this very quick. And this is a message I've been preaching for a few weeks or a few months now. And I'm sure the Lord will speak to us through it. Acts chapter 1. And my intention was to read from verse 1, but I'll just read the verse 7 that is here. I would relate back to the other verses. So, he said to them, verse 7, Acts 1, 7, he said to them, and this is our Lord Jesus talking, and he says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And it's quite interesting because Jesus is speaking here in the book of Acts. So Jesus didn't only speak in the Gospels. Here Jesus is speaking in the book of Acts. They had asked him a question, and it was a very funny question. Oh God, when are you going to now restore the kingdom back to us and all those things? After his resurrection, and he was going to ascend, and he had his disciples, and they said, oh, would you now restore? When is it? Now, you're going to do something spectacular, obviously. You have proven to your enemies that you can die and rise up. So now is the time. Now is the time to restore the kingdom. And Jesus more or less just said to them, you don't actually know what you're talking about. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. Jesus was saying to them here that focus on what is important. Dates, kingdoms, Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden is not what's important. And I know there are many of us who are taken by all of these things. Some of us are so good. Somebody was saying to me recently that, they asked somebody, when do you think that rapture will happen? And the person said, maybe in another 15 years. We don't know, because Jesus said the times or dates is only known to the Father. And Jesus was trying to say to them, forget all this nonsensical stuff about times, about seasons. Forget all the date stuff. This is what is important, and focus on it. And I'm not sure whether we know the time management matrix, where you have urgent, non-important, urgent and important, not urgent but important, not urgent, not important, and not whatever, the four quadrants of time management. And generally, when you I'm sure those of us who know about it will know that the number one, the one that's important, is the second quadrant, which is not urgent but important. And Jesus is trying to say here to us, because once you focus on the not urgent but important quadrant, you find that all the other quadrants will sort themselves out. So, for example, this is just by the way, if you do regular exercises, then there won't be a problem, or it's very unlikely. So there might still be very unlikely that, or actually, let me use something else. If you take your vehicle, if you do regular checkup on your vehicle, let me use that. So whether it's okay or not, you go and do what we call MOT in this country, or you take it to the mechanic for the regular quarterly checks, chances are that your vehicle will not break down on I-95 on Monday morning, when you will cause a lot of traffic. So that's what that quadrant is all about. So the more you take care of what's important, the more the other stuff would fall into place. And Jesus is saying to us and to disciples here, focus on what is important. And I'm saying this, my brothers and sisters, because I think there's a tendency for the church to look inwards. There's a tendency to want to be ready for the Lord. And I'm not saying, please don't be ready for the Lord. We need to be ready for the Lord. But what I'm trying to say is, being ready for the Lord means actually doing what God wants us to do. Not just staying at home and say, oh, we'll fast 7 days, Lord. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. I won't do anything. Like, it's like the story of a man who said he didn't want to commit any sin and decided to just sit in one place. And that one place is where he does everything. And after a while, somebody said to him, actually, why don't you remove the mat of where you have sat for the last few days? And underneath the mat were dead ants. And the person said, oh, you have killed these ants and they're innocent. So you've killed them, so you have committed sin. And I'm saying this to us, that our strategy on waiting for the Lord or being prepared for the Lord is not to actually look inwards. It's to actually see what God is saying to us and doing his will. So Jesus here said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I'm going to say something more here before we move forward. This was the final thing Jesus said to his disciples. So it's very important. If you have ever been to a place where a will is read, you know that it's a solemn thing. I've only witnessed it once. So somebody had passed away and they were going to read his will, only once. So the last will and testament, they call it. This is what Jesus said to his disciples just before he left them. You will receive power. You will receive power, and this are what you're going to do. And I am saying to us, my brothers and sisters, it's exactly the same thing that Jesus has said to us. We're now his disciples. We're the one who follows Jesus on a regular basis. And this is what he said to us. I want to challenge us what I'm trying to say to us today is just to challenge us on one aspect of this. And I'm sure that something dramatic will happen in our lives. So let's just move on. So the thing that Jesus said is this, very simple. You will be my witnesses. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And I remember a song that we used to sing in the late 80s, early 90s. I've got the power. I'm sure maybe the Brother Bumi may remember. Or actually, if you do remember, that means you're getting on a bit. If you do know that song, I've got the power. Brother Wale, do you know the song?
I'm a lot younger than you, bro.
Oh, I see. Oh, actually, I've forgotten that you were born again from the womb. Okay. So if what we have, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said you will receive power. And he's saying to every one of us. In fact, what I'm saying to us today is not that you will just receive the power. You have already received that power. You've received that power. And we mustn't let it go to waste. I noticed that in America, over 400,000 people have died of COVID. In fact, I know that was about last week. So presumably more have died of COVID. And Brother Wale was praying this morning, and I was quite glad when he prayed about harvest, about the need for harvest. And I'm thinking, out of those 400,000 people, how many of them do we know would safely go to the Lord? How many? And you've got the power, and I've got the power. You've got the power, I've got the power. How many of those 400,000 people are we sure have gone to be with the Lord in terms of their knowledge of the Lord and the fact that, just like Sister Folake mentioned about Larry King, that he will only be qualified to interview God if he's in the right place in the first place. But Jesus gave us that mandate to be his witnesses. So he said in that chapter 7 that we read, forget about what is not important. What's important is that I want you to be my witness. And the power we've got is the power to be a witness to the Lord. We're not witnessing to New Covenant Church. We're not witnessing to the Maryland Church. We're not telling people how very big our church, how successful our church is. We're not telling people how very united we are. All of these things are good. But the key to what Jesus said was, you will be my, the key was that my, you'll be my witnesses, not a witness to your nation, which sometimes when we look at American Christian, I'm sorry to say this, please forgive me if I've rubbed you on the wrong side, where sometimes I look at American Christians, the so-called Christian right in America, I think the witnessing is for their nation or for the flag. But Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. My witnesses. We witness to Christ. We share the good news of the gospel to people around us. And there's a power that comes, that flows through you when you share that, when you are Christ's witness. When you witness for him, there's something dramatic, because the gospel itself has a built-in power that transform people's lives. That is why when, if you now look at Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached a message, men, people said, the Bible says they were cut to their hearts and said to Peter and the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? If you've ever seen a grown man cry, If you've ever seen them cry, and even grown up women, it is because the gospel has the power to transform people's lives. In fact, the scripture says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation. There's built-in power. When you speak about the Lord, when you witness about Jesus, there's a power that comes with it. That is why we've got the power. And that's why we must be witnesses, because if you're not a witness, nothing ever happens. That's why some of us, and I hope nobody in the church in America is like that, because some of us have been in the church for 20 years, for 30 years, we're waiting for the Lord. We're waiting for the Lord, but nothing ever happens, because you don't grow when you don't give birth. You don't grow when you don't do things. There's no growth. It is when you talk about the Lord, when you are his witness, that things happen. And you'll be thinking, wow, because there's power. And if we take that example of Peter again, when he spoke on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. When he spoke, people heard, when the disciples spoke, people heard them from different, in their different languages, including the most important language of all, our language. People from our heart on that day, when the gospel was preached, they heard. Everybody heard. There is power, my brothers and sisters. And I'm saying to us, all I'm trying to say, it's very simple. You've got the power. You've got the power. It is time for us to use it. We live in a broken, dangerous world. We must have a sense of mission. We must think like Jesus thought. You know, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus went to the temple and he opened the gospel. And he opened to the book of Isaiah, I think chapter 61, and he spoke from it. He had a vision, and he gave the mission. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to set the captives free, and when he has, and to announce the acceptable year day of the Lord. And when he said, today this gospel is being fulfilled in your ears. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he went for it with every atom and proton and neutron and electron in his body. He went for it. That's what he did every day. It was good news. So when he saw Peter's mother-in-law, the good news was to heal her, and that was the good news for her. Those who were hungry, it was the good news. He kept faith with those things that he said. And that's the same mandate that he has given us. The mandate he has given us is not just to sit in church, my brothers and sisters. The mandate he has given us is to be his witnesses. And things happen when we make this happen. You will see miracles. You will see people's lives transformed. You may see dozens of people. You may not see 3,000 added to the church in one day, but it could just be one person that you led to Christ that will add 3,000 people. You will see the dead rise. So everything that the Bible has said to us, everything we see in the Bible, we can make them happen today because we have the power. But we need to be the witnesses of Christ. We need to witness to him. We need to talk about him. We need to make him known. We have the power. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of him. People were cut to their hearts. You know, when I know it can still happen, when, and Pastor Bumi can testify to this, in those days when we were young Christians, we would shut ourselves in the room, we'll be crying, Lord, what you did for us is so marvelous. The fact that I was heading nowhere, the fact I was heading for perdition, and you saved us. What made us to do that was recognizing what the Lord did for us. And people today, whoever they may be, However dead we may think they may be in their sin, can still experience that when we share the word of God with them. When we witness to Christ, lives are transformed. Grown men and women will cry. We will be, in fact, you'll be shocked at what can happen. Because we've got the power. And we must use the power, my brothers and sisters. And that's the challenge I'm going to give to us. So if you ask me, if you ask me, how do we do this? I've said the first one, just his witnesses. We just be my witnesses, Jesus said. Just be a witness to Christ. And I don't want to make this to be something that is difficult to do. I'm going to challenge us this week. Some people are waiting for you and on you. I want us to be creative. Some of your neighbors are waiting on you. Some of our family members, I know some of us may have family members who don't know the Lord yet. It's our responsibility. That was the last thing. And that's why I said this was the last will and testament of Jesus. The very last thing that he said to the disciples is to be his witnesses. We must of necessity make this happen. So be the witness of Christ. And that just means good news. So a good news to somebody who is ill is to pray for them and let them and see, ask them, can I pray for you? And see, and it's not your problem if they don't recover. That's not your problem at all. In fact, it is, you know, sometimes we're thinking, okay, what if I pray, lay my hands on this person and nothing happens? I want to append that. What if something happens? And that's the way we should think. We must be expectant because we're people that God has equipped. We must be expectant. What if something happens? What, in fact, you know, sometimes trying to take literally what the Lord says. He says, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. He didn't even say you will pray. Just say you lay your hands. So if you think, I don't know how to pray for this person, say to them, can I pray for you? And when you do, just lay your hands on them and say to them, I'm going to pray. I won't pray aloud. Just lay your hands on them and trust God. That's how to do it. What if something happens? The good news for those who are hungry is food. And everybody, I don't know what in America, but I know that if you go to your neighbor and bake, if you have banana cake, take it to your neighbor. They will accept it. Good news. The gospel is good news, just means good news. Some of our family members, some people that you haven't spoken to who are in dire strait. Good news for somebody who is in lockdown is somebody just calling them and just finding out about them. Today we had snow, which is quite unusual in England. We don't have it as you do regularly. And as soon as we finished church this morning, just before we ended, it started snowing. And as soon as we finished, it was just like my children went out, all the neighbors came out, and everybody was trying to build snowmen and throwing the snow around and what have you. Because the reason for that is that we are being locked down. So to see something that would cheer them up was just marvelous to people. So today for us, the snow was good news. And that's what we can be in other people's lives, by calling somebody who is in lockdown, who is in despair, who is challenged by life. That's good news. We're being Christ witnesses. And that's how to do it, my brothers and sisters. We don't even need to make it too extraordinary. If you tell somebody, and we would look at this more, but I just want us to know that don't make it anything too difficult, because Jesus saw Peter's mother-in-law who was ill, and he did not immediately start to preach to Peter's mother-in-law, just set her free. And of course, that will give room for many other things to follow. Many, many other things to follow. So if I bake a piece of cake for somebody who is my neighbor, obviously many, many other things to follow. Many other things. That might just be an icebreaker. Many, many other things to follow. We must believe that there's power in being a witness to Christ. And that's how to do it. When do we do it? Acts chapter 5, verse 42. The Bible says, every day in the temple and from house to house, they continue to teach and preach this message. Jesus is the Messiah. Every day. We must use every opportunity we have. Somebody came to our house to read our, I don't know whether this happens in America, but you do get people that will just knock your door here and they'll come and read your electricity meter to take the meter reading so that the bill can be sent to you by the authority. Is that something that happens in America? Or do you just get your, or you are very much advanced than us? Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Here in this country, people do come into your house. They knock on your door and say, I'm from Octopus, or I'm from British Gas or British Electricity, and I've come to read your, I've come to take your meter readings, and then they'll take it, and then you get the invoice. I want to challenge us, my brothers and sisters, every day, every one of those people, we must take advantage of the people that come across us, across our way. And the reason I'm sharing this is that the same thing happened to us last week, and somebody came, and so I said, I was trying to find out a way to engage him. I said, where are you from? He said, the country that produces the best footballer in the United Kingdom. So I started thinking, who is the best footballer in the United Kingdom? But as you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So he now, after a while, he said, Salah. So Salah, who plays for Liverpool, if you're a Liverpool fan. So he was trying to tell me he was from Egypt. So thankfully, I know that Salah is from Egypt. So I said, very brilliant. And I said, I'm from Nigeria. And we started to chat as a result of that. That he now said to me, Egypt, we've beaten Nigeria 4 times in the last 4 years or so. I'm not sure. I don't know the statistics about Nigeria and Egypt, but I know that Nigeria has beaten Egypt in the past as well. So I said, we are beating you. But that creates an opportunity for me to be able to talk to him about the Lord. Every day, my brothers and sisters, every day, we must be a witness to Christ. Everybody that comes our way. Because we don't know. You and I don't know whether that person, this will be the only experience they will have of the Lord. We really don't know. And we don't want to let that opportunity go. We really don't know. And where Jesus gave us a very good strategy towards that. He says in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So I'm going to say to us, I'm going to challenge us, that Jerusalem is our home, our immediate family. And I say this as someone who also has family members who don't yet know the Lord. But even before going to our extended family members, I'm going to say to us, am I a witness to my children? Do I represent Christ well? Am I a witness to my wife? Or do I exasperate my wife and children? You know, the Bible, and it was one of my children that reminded me of this not too long ago. I was saying that, children, the Bible says you must obey your parents. And she said to me, 9-year-old, in fact, she wasn't even 9 then. She said, the Bible also says you must not exasperate. Parents must not exasperate their children. Are you a witness, my brothers and sisters? So even at Jerusalem, our own homes, are we a witness to our children? Are we a witness to our spouse? And I say this because I I'm a minority in my home. I'm the only male in a family of four. So I know that I'm a specimen of what a husband must be, and a father must be, and a gentleman must be. I know that. And I often fail, I must tell us, but it's at the back of my mind that this is what my children would think a father ought to be and a husband ought to be. I'm going to flip that. My sisters who are listening to me, are you a witness to your husband, though he might be a pastor? Are you a witness to your children? Are you a witness to people around you? And I'll say to my brothers as well, we can come to church and pray like an angel. We can sing like Lucifer. But Jesus said, you must be his witness. I want to challenge us. Today, Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, where he read that scripture, he said, today this gospel is fulfilled in your ears. Today is also the day of salvation for us, where we start to become the witnesses of Christ. If we're failing in our homes, it's not just outside, it's not just in church on Sunday that we are a witness to Christ. We are failing in our homes. If you come in those days, if you should, I say this to people and to particularly men, if you should arrive at home and your children and your wives scatters around or they're afraid, then there's something wrong with you, because people only run away from people who have problems. In our homes, we must be a witness to Christ. In our own Jerusalem, must be a witness. So that means that our children, our spouses must see us to be a people of prayer. To be a people of prayer, given to following the Lord, given to loving the Lord. And Jesus said, we must do this in Judea. So now Judea, we now go beyond our immediate family. We're witness to our community, and some communities are broken. But you are the Christ that they see there. They will see. And I say this that because I don't just want us to be a church that is waiting for the Lord. I want us to be a church that is ready for the Lord, because we are trying to carry as many people as possible. This was what Jesus himself did. This was what he did. This was what John the Baptist did. This was what the apostles did. Wherever they are, there was transformation. In a place of work, and I'm not saying there's a one size that fits all. We must be creative. We must find ways of sharing the gospel, of letting people know about the good news. And of course, the Bible says we take it to our Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And I'm sure we all know that, okay, it doesn't just end there. What we started with is this. If you do all of these things, you are unstoppable. We would see miracles. We will see miracles upon miracles upon miracles. Whether it is healing, but the greatest miracle of all is to see people that were heading for perdition on the way to hell coming to know the Lord and being on fire for the Lord. We will be unstoppable, because there's a power, there's a built-in power that comes with the gospel. And I'm going to close, but I'm going to remind us of one thing that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. You know, if we read from Matthew chapter 5, we see the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus preached it in chapter 5. He preached it in chapter 6, and he preached it in chapter 7. So it was a continuous sermon. So from verse 24, he started to conclude. And he now said, everyone that hears this word of mine and puts them into practice, it's like a man Oh, in fact, it's like a wise builder. Let me just put it that way. So a man or woman, for that matter, that builds that his house on a very solid, deep foundation, so that when there was trouble, nothing happened. It was unstoppable. And what I want to draw from there, my brothers and sisters, is this. Just listen to what he said. Let's listen to it carefully. He says, everyone that hears his words and does what? Puts them into practice. Everyone that hears and puts them into practice. And in the book of James, we saw a similar thing in the book of James. I think it's James chapter 1. I'm not sure of the exact verse. He says, those who hear this word and does not put them into practice, that they are like a man who observes himself in the mirror. And when he moves away, he forgets completely what he looks like. So James, echoing what Jesus said in James chapter 1, says, if we don't put these words into practice today, you know, and I know this very easily, we may leave here today, we say, oh, it was a fantastic service. The worship led beautifully by Sister Kemi. The prayers by Brother Wale, fantastic. Sister Folake led the testimony and told us what's going to happen during this week. And the other Brother Kunle, was the way he handled the entire program was brilliant. And then Brother Gbenga spoke. And then we forget. We're just like that man that observes himself in the mirror. And when he leaves, he forgets. So in other words, Jesus is saying, what you have learned, put into practice. Put into practice. Immediately, let's put them into practice. And the challenge I have for us is very easy. This week, thankfully, or unfortunately, I'm coming back next week. So the exam will be next week. So I'm going to ask us next week. At least one person. Try, and please don't worry. Just be a witness for Christ this week. Be intentional about it. Focus on it. Just one person this week. Pray about it. Let it be your set your heart on pilgrimage this week. Just one person this week. And as I said, don't make it hard for you. You can do it today. Call somebody who you know is in despair and just let them know in your own words that they are loved by God. Let them know that Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love to that person, that while that person was still in their sin was when Jesus died, not when they started attending New Covenant Church in Maryland. It was when we were deep and in our sins that God demonstrated his love to that person. Let's do it this week. So one witness, and we can share best practice next week. So we will come next week. Maybe we'll take at least about 5 people before we even do anything. Just share with us. How did you do it? What happened? Did somebody slap you when you said to them, can I pray for you? Or whatever. At least you will know that's one of the sufferings that you get for following the Lord Jesus. And I've said this week, we must also start in Jerusalem. So, but I don't want you to go and witness your wife this week and say, okay, Sister Kemi, you know, Jesus loves you. Because I know some of us are very smart. And you say, you just say one witness. So I witnessed to my daughter, I witnessed to my wife. Uh-huh. But I'm also smart too. Starting in Jerusalem just mean I want us to have that conversation with our families. A very serious conversation, but it's number 2. Does that make sense? Let's have that conversation with our families, whether they are with you or they are not. We need to have that conversation because, and perhaps with our children, you may not know. My children always sometimes say to me that I'm very, is it not moody? They say one word, I can't remember. But it's one of the challenges of having children when you're already old. So I take it in my stride. So they tell me that. But let's have those conversations and be creative. That's the last thing I would say. Be very creative about this. We have the power and we must be a witness to Christ. May the Lord bless his words into our hearts. Lord, we thank you because you you do not exasperate us. You are a good, good Father, a solid Father. And we're loved by you. And Lord, that's why we follow you. Because you are a solid Father. You do not put upon us things that are impossible. And you have given us great gifts. You've given us your Holy Spirit. So Father, we want to say we love you too. We appreciate all that you have done for us. So help us this week as we walk on this journey with you, the journey of transforming people's lives. We pray for strength and grace. And we're expectant, Lord. We know miracles will come. We're expectant. We're expectant that the blind will see this week just because we obey your words. We're expectant that the dead will rise. We're expectant that yokes will be broken. And we're expectant that there will be eternal reward, eternal changes in people's lives today, this week. So we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.